Daniel chapter 6, which begins with Vrinda Devi inviting Srimati Radharani to please come inside, and she takes her on a tour of all the arrangements that she and the other Van Devis of Vrindavan have made for this special festival. The travelers to the festival moved fast and slow, some in front and some at the back. When Radha reached the entrance of her own grove, Vrindavan, Vrindavan worshipped her with fine scents and other opulent items. Srimati Radharani accepted the grove, constructed as if by divine architects, as her own home. No sooner had Radha entered her own grove than she smelt the aroma of Krishna's body. She could understand that Krishna was somewhere nearby. So she managed to control herself and asked Vrinda, is it my mistake, or do I smell the fragrance of Hari somewhere near? Please tell me if he is here. Now, again, another conspiracy. So Vrinda told her, yes, he did come. He has been here. But Jyotila came here also. And she came here with her son, Abhimanyu, with the intention of discovering that there might be something suspicious taking place here. Therefore, rather reluctantly, Madhava has gone to another place with his friends. Now, Vrinda Devi will relate what Saibhya has done. Saibhya is also very cunning. So Saibhya had gone to old Jyotila, and she had told her something. She had said, please, this Abhishek is taking place, but keep Krishna away so that he cannot see your daughter. Go there with your son and tell Krishna that this advice is meant to instill some sense control in a gentleman. And then Krishna, he will stay away from this festival. So Srimati Radharani is hearing about this, and Vrinda says to her, when I saw that the old blind Jyotila and Abhimanyu had come to implement this plan, I called Jyotila's son over with my hand, I waved him to come to me, and I said, just see, the devas are laughing in the sky because you have come to see the Abhishek of your wife.
How shameful! On hearing this, the son of Jyotila, he ran immediately to Kamyavan, so he disappeared. He was quite embarrassed. And then I went to Jyotila and I said, old lady, your son is afflicted with rheumatism. And muttering something again and again, he ran to the Jamuna. So after removing Abhimanyu from the scene and sending Malati to console Krishna, I came here to see you. Do not lament at all. So Vrinda assures Srimati Radharani that all these obstacles have been taken care of.
Then Vrinda invites Srimati Radharani to have a look at this beautiful arrangement that she has provided. She says, this house that I have made for you is so beautiful that even Lord Brahma cannot imagine the construction. Without a doubt, even if Lord Brahma tried for a long time to describe this structure, he would quickly become speechless. So she says, there is one main room that I have constructed, and then there are rooms on each side. This house of creepers is splendid with its flowers, new shoots and swarms of bees. It has many trees, gardens and jeweled floors. It has many types of courtyards and arches over the entrance. O Swamini, there is one large chamber and six high surrounding rooms. Now please, she says, come and see this beautiful arrangement.
So first she takes Srimati Radharani into the first room on her guided tour. And she points out to her there that there is one very, very extraordinarily tall tree called the Satapatrika tree. And it forms the large shaded area of this house. So this house is built with not wood and nails, but it is constructed by the trees of Vrindavan, and the creepers of Vrindavan entwine around them. So she says, come and see this beautiful shaded room where there are many peacocks dancing very, very blissfully. This room, she says, is spread with bakul flowers and kimsuka flowers. Bakul flowers are a cream color and extremely fragrant. And kimsuka flowers are red. So she says, this is the second room where these are. She's taking her into the second room. And she says, just see how these flowers have given their nature to each other. So that the kimsuka flowers now are fragrant like the bakul. And the bakul has taken on the color of these beautiful red flowers. So in each room she shows her an opulence. And each of these opulences are coming from the flowers and the beauty of Vrindavan. In the third room, she says, here there are patala flowers and malika flowers. And when you see them, your mind will become unsteady. Because these malika flowers look like a waterfall of moonbeams. Then she takes her to the next room and says, this room is golden with karnika flowers. And when your effulgence comes into this golden room, even the bees, of course, who are blackish, they will also become golden by the beauty of your effulgence. And she takes her to the next room and says, this room has all lavanga creepers, all entwined up and down, all around the room, which are very fragrant. And in this room, there are so many bees that they look like incense smoke. Then she takes her to the next room and she says, in this room there are champak creepers. Champak is a golden, a yellowish golden plant, flower. And these champak creepers are embraced around tamal trees. So this reminds everyone of the Radha and Krishna together, when the champak and the tamal trees are together. So she said, here all the birds have come into this room and they're cooing very, very sweetly, seeing the beauty of this room. So then she says to her, in the middle of this grove, right in the middle. Now this description is extremely intricate. I have taken just some of the details, but Srila Jiva Goswami goes into all these tiny, minute details. He says, in the middle of the grove in the east, there is a famous place. And here, there is a beautiful royal golden throne. And after this Abhishek, you will sit in that grove. Then she shows Radha, she says, now let us go to the northern grove. And there Purnamasi is seated and she is performing some fire sacrifice and offering incense into the fire and chanting so many mantras. So when Radha enters the northern chamber, she sees that it has flower gates and it is attractive with ghee lamps and rows of shining pots and heaps of various auspicious items that have been prepared for this particular occasion. As Radha became attracted to her groves by the words of Vrinda, the goddess of the forests, she tinted Vrinda's complexion with her own. They mutually increased each other's happiness. When Radha entered the northern chamber, she saw the flower gates, the attractive lamps, and the rows of shining pots. And there she saw a very special place. This place was called the Sarvabhauma Griha. It was a square made of flowers measuring 20 hands with flags all around it. There was a flower house surrounded by rows of the best trees with a jeweled floor that looked like the moon rising amidst mountains of the eight directions. In that grove there were pots made of sapphires and rows of lamps. And this exquisite chamber was made of white flowers, which lit up the whole appearance of the altar. So Radha came into this place, and then, after that, Purnamasi sat her in the southern courtyard, near a throne, and she asked her to please sit there under a beautiful canopy. So Srimati Radharani sat down. Meanwhile, Purnamasi began another fire sacrifice. She was sitting on her asana and chanting many mantras. And as she was chanting the mantras and offering the fire, the ghee into the fire, the flame started turning to the right. Usually we circumambulate to the left. The flame started turning towards the right, and immediately everybody in the audience let out a great roar and they began circumambulating the fire to the right. Then as Purnamasi was chanting her mantras, she, at the appropriate time of the mantra chanting, all the heavenly demigoddesses who were coming for this particular function, they all appeared. Uma, Jamuna, Manasi Ganga, the wives of the sun, who are called Chaya and Sangya, appeared. And they sprinkled Parijat flowers on Srimati Radharani's head and blessed her. Then Purnamasi said to them all, she said, "You have now come to Vraj to perform Radha's Abhishek so that the whole world will be astounded." Then Chaya spoke. And she said, actually, she said, "We have a doubt in our hearts that doesn't allow us to feel any bliss on this occasion." And then she spoke very sweetly and she said, "The cause of this sadness in our heart is that Srimati Radharani is only going to be ruling over Vrindavan. And we think we would be much more satisfied if she became the ruler of the whole universe." Purnamasi was very happy to hear this, and she laughed very loudly. Then Uma spoke, and Uma, she spoke glorifying Vrindavan and Sri Mathura Dham. She said, "All things necessary for a person to cross over the ocean of material existence and to attain Krishna Prem that are found in the Vedas are easily found in the area of Mathura." And she spoke on in glorification of Mathura and she said, "The Lord infuses his own Shakti into places that are not his eternal dharms in order to enjoy his own pastimes. But what can we say about Vrindavan, where all his energies are eternally present? O friend, please understand that in that all inconceivable powers and spiritual love are eternally present in Vrindavan." Now this is Uma speaking, and we understand Uma is the goddess presiding over the whole material energy. And she concludes, "In this place, Srimati Radharani is completely qualified to receive the Abhishek. Such honor is certainly befitting for her." Meanwhile, as all of this opulence is being displayed and all these honorable guests are arriving, Srimati Radharani lowers her head and she is thinking to herself, "Will I be fortunate enough to see Shyamasunda here?" She thinks, "Now I cannot even find a speck of his aroma present. There are too many people near me now. Oh, Krishna, help." And as she is thinking like this and feeling Krishna's separation, Purnamasi could read her mind. And so by one look at her face, she then indicated to Vrinda, and she told Vrinda Devi, "Please bring the sapphire of Braj here immediately." Meanwhile, all the gopis were looking at Srimati Radharani, and they also could understand that she was feeling very sad. And so when Purnamasi gave this instruction, they too felt very comforted. And then amazingly, one personality arrived. It was Sarasvati. And Sarasvati is the presiding deity over the beauty of all flowers. So she came, and she had in her hands a brilliant casket she was carrying with her something. And also she had a beautiful garland for Srimati Radharani. When she opened this beautiful casket, she said, Indrani, the wife of Indra, is sending here a golden asana. Kuvera's wife is sending jeweled ornaments. Varuna's wife is sending a golden ruling staff. And Vayu's wife is sending two white chamaras. Agni's wife, Svaha, is sending two pieces of cloth. And Yamaraja's wife is sending a jeweled mirror. All these treasures are worthy of Vrindavan. Please let them attain attachment to the beauty of Radha. Purnamasi gave all of these items to Lalita Devi, who accepted them on behalf of Srimati Radharani and remembered Narada's prediction that when all the articles come, then Krishna will crown Srimati Radharani. He will crown her Vrindavan Ishwari. So then the ladies were told to perform the rites. Then drums and other instruments sounded all around, and the waters of all the sacred rivers appeared. And then all the main tirthas, the best tirthas of the universe came, as well as the tirthas of Vrindavan. And they all formed water, and they gathered together, and all of this water turned this jeweled area into a huge lake. And this beautiful lake was full of birds who were chirping and lotus flowers. And as the music became louder and even more joyful, then Vrinda and the Astasakis, and surrounded by these heavenly guests, carried 9 pots. They placed them and they brought them in front of the arena and they placed them on unhusked rice in a circle. And when they had put these pots down, they worshipped these pots. These pots represented the 9 Navaratna, the 9 jewels that represent the 9 different planets. So one pot was made of coral, another one was made of rubies, another one of pearls, diamonds, and then cat's eyes, then emeralds, yellow sapphires, blue sapphires, and a very valuable jewel known as Gomeda. So the women worshipped these pots, and then, after having done all of the worship for the pots by placing them in front of the golden throne, they purified them with kumkum, red cloth garlands, scents, and sandalwood paste. And then the presiding deities of these pots also arrived. So while all this was taking place and all this preparation was going on, Krishna himself returned to see what was taking place. But Krishna, he was hiding in the bushes nearby with Subal. But when he saw the beauty of Srimati Radharani at her abhishek, first he became bewildered, then he became stunned, and finally he fell to the ground unconscious. And Subal had to pick him up and help him to stand on his 2 legs. Meanwhile, he was hiding in the bushes and he was watching all of this. All the young girls who were taking part in this festival, they all cheered Srimati Radharani by saying, "Now you may become victorious." And they walked with Srimati Radharani and sat her down. Then Krishna in the bushes was thinking that Radha is the perfection of my life. Is there anyone equal to her? She has completely conquered me. But look, Lalita. We heard about Lalita yesterday. She's rather fiery. Lalita is whispering in her ear, "Oh no, that means that I will have good fortune only after a very long time." Because Lalita is saying to her, "You can accept the sovereignty of Vrindavan, but do not deal with Krishna. If you see him, your senses will become unsteady. So do not hesitate to protect yourself with the arrows of your sidelong glances." So Krishna is watching and he's describing what is taking place. So the gopis collect the water from the lake and they bring it back and they place it in the right position. And meanwhile, Krishna is in the bushes watching everything. And then Srimati Radharani starts to feel very, very anxious because Krishna has not appeared and everything is very, very formal. Everything is taking place. And then Purnamasi hears this news because Vishakha comes and tells her, "Srimati Radharani is not feeling so peaceful." So then Purnamasi says to Bhavani, she says, "Is this the proper time for me to manifest my desire, to make my desire come true?" And Bhavani replies and says, "In this world, Vrindavan is the only suitable place for the jivas. Here in Vrindavan, Krishna can bestow blessings on anyone who is aspiring for love." Smiling, Purnamasi says, "Just see my mystic powers." And saying this, she reached into the bushes and pulled Krishna forward and he landed right in front of everyone. And there he was, right in front of all of the crowd. And as a black flickering cloud appears, became lit up everything, Krishna was there. So there he was. Meanwhile, now that Krishna had appeared, Shyamasunda and his dear friends who were suitable for this particular pastime, they were all there. And although they wanted to meet and see Srimati Radharani, there were so many elders around, it was not at all a suitable situation. So Krishna is looking and thinking, "Oh, this is going to take a very long time." And Srimati Radharani and the gopis are also thinking in the same way. And meanwhile, Krishna was thinking, if only Srimati Radharani would place one look towards me. And remember, she has been strictly warned by Lalita, don't look at him. It will make you shake and tremble. So you have to have, everything has to be done properly. So don't look at him. But at that very moment, Srimati Radharani threw a special glance at Krishna. So this was the special ending to this particular part of the chapter, is Srimati Radharani's glancing at Krishna in his direction. Spreading a smiling countenance at her own festival, humbling the most worshipable women, offering various emotions like a river and overflowing with beauty. May the remarkable eyes of Srimati Radharani, the friend of Lalita, be forever glorified. Srila Jiva Goswami completes this chapter by saying, "I eternally serve beautiful Krishna and my spiritual master who drowned me in an ocean of mercy, who gave me their lotus feet, who gave their lotus feet to this childish fool who was almost dead, and seeing my whimsical nature, protected me with their affectionate glances." In this way, Sri Jiva Goswami completes chapter 6 of Srimadav Mahotsava.